Thanks, Phil. It's my job to sort of set the stage. Some of you have seen the headlines, some of the business headlines today, and I'm not going to say anything except that the volume that you've all got now contains much more. But the current debate is, of course, focused on the federal government tender process for rollout of a national optical fibre network. The collection reminds us that the real question at stake is, how do we deliver the best information services to customers in different situations across Australia? I'm talking about four doors in the sense of copper, the existing last mile to your home or premise, fibre, the new technology that can take ridiculously fast speeds as pulses go down a glass fibre, mobile phones, which while reasonably slow at the moment, are going to be capable of speeds of, let's say, 100 megabits per second in coming years. And finally, cable, which I've described as those assets under the ground that have been greatly underutilised for reasons that are a combination of regulatory constraints, competitive behaviour and so forth. But cable is indeed an asset of great potential value. So what CEDA, through this volume and certainly in my paper, what we're advocating is an unleashing of competition. We've had our problems, we've had our regulatory failure. I remember when we first produced a book way back on telecommunications related to the Act of 1975, it was stated that the only thing that didn't come under the Telecoms Act was love at first sight. All other forms of communication had to get telecoms approval. Well, we're in a different world now. We have four channels, four sorts of infrastructures, and it's really more than that. If you for example, WiMAX and satellite, put them in the wireless category along with mobile phones. So we do have a very new situation. The speeds we're enjoying today, if that's the right word, I mean, we have the Trabant, the dial-up of a few years ago. Be lucky to get 64. We're now getting up to, you know, 5 or 6 megabits per second with ADSL, and VDSL is coming. But the cable down your street is capable of delivering 50 or 150 megabits per second, but hasn't basically been turned on. And some would blame the regulator, others would blame other things, and I'm not going to try and arbitrate on that. The papers contain key policy options that will stimulate continuing innovation in broadband and media delivery. There is broad alignment across the contributors on the virtue of promoting infrastructure-based competition and diverse solutions rather than a single national solution. An earlier CEDA paper by Josh Gans 2 years ago heavily emphasised those points, and they're updated in the current volume. We argue then, we don't find support for vertical structural separation. We are convinced about a lot of those arguments. So we don't mind that the owner of the copper and the infrastructure also has a retail business. You want them to be informed. You want the synergies. But we also need competition as best we can get it. A national broadband network can be delivered by more competitive usage of existing cable, copper, wireless, plus the rollout of fibre according to local infrastructure conditions, Mr. Conroy. These alternatives assume even greater significance in the context of the current financial crisis, since they facilitate tailoring of a rollout financed by telecommunications companies and their customers who value what they can do with communications according to localised solutions. The alternatives then focus on the complementary and competitive dimensions to phones, fibre, copper and wireless. Regulatory failure has characterised telecommunications worldwide. One of my best friends in the UK was a key regulator, and he always thought he gave Thatcher some terrible advice, which was immediately obsolete, regarding telecoms. This is essentially because technology and computers, digital displays, sound, have combined with wireless, wire, and optical telecommunications technology to create unforeseeable, dramatic, and yet beneficial change in media platforms and products. No one has been able to keep up with this digital revolution, but all are benefiting in different degrees. What we must do in regulatory terms is ensure that we find a balance between the competitive and competitive tension across and within all telecommunications platforms and incentives to invest in the needed infrastructure. Many is the critic that says that the regulatory prices have been such that Optus and others have not invested the way they might. With real competition across these infrastructures, consumers can get improved services at better prices, as evident overseas. If the federal government wishes to deliver services to remote users, it should note the coverage from the 3G mobile platform, about 99%, and satellite gets that to 100%. Assistance may still be necessary for certain people who have low income status or whatever, but there's no need to spend $4.7 billion in the guise of connecting the bush. I think I'd rather prefer $4.7 billion. My brother's a farmer. All of a sudden, his family, when they visit me, don't even bother with my broadband because they've all got their Next G card, actually. And they were whinging and moaning about communications a while back, about the time Labor and Liberals developed their policy. So we don't want Telstra to be structurally separated in the sense of vertical. We do not want a backbone, a copper fibre system that's potentially isolated from retail. But to ensure state-of-the-art accessible systems, we do want Telstra to face more infrastructure competition. And in their proposal to the government, Telstra say just that. They value and they expect infrastructure competition. But in particular, the slight difference with Telstra is that we feel cable should also be made a more competitive source. I say we, I mean my paper for the CEDA volume. CEDA doesn't have views there. My views in that paper. But we believe that there should be competition, that the winner of the fibre tender should be obliged to divest shares in cable so the cable business can offer both competitive broadband and cable TV. The winner of the fibre optic tender will have IPTV, which is Internet Protocol TV, rocketing through its cables at fantastic prices. I suppose the bottom line is, why don't we want the owner of that network, that system, to face competition from cable and not also be in control of the cable entity? Fairly elementary point, but very controversial given some history. We don't believe there's any need to divest mobile phone businesses, given that they are largely independent systems, although there's a need for regulation of backhaul charges, where the winner of the FTTN tender will have monopoly powers. Finally, there's no need for government, as I said, to subsidise the fibre rollout, but rather to use the current infrastructure intelligently. Does the Australian community think it makes sense to spend billions on a new subsidised network when we've got billions have already been spent on cable under the ground and that can drive fantastic speeds that none of us currently have access to very soon? That's the question. So, Chairman, I'll leave it at that. I think they're the issues that I've raised in my paper. I'm very delighted to be CEDA's research director, but I stress these are my views. I'm delighted CEDA is bringing this policy issue together at a time that is highly strategic. Thank you very much.